The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Make this the day, the month, and the year that you take the limits off of your life. This is your time to be true to yourself. Start that business. Write a book. Enhance your relationships. Go back to school. Travel abroad. And give like you have never given before. This is Live Your Life with your host, Melissa Brown. You have everything in your life to get started. What's stopping you? Now, here is Melissa Brown.
Hello and good morning. What a beautiful day it is. It's the beginning of another week, and I hope that you've had some really good time in the past week to just kind of draw upon the courage that is within you. Last week, we began a new series with the month of March because, again, March comes in like a lion, and it is my hope that the dreams, the destiny, all the things that you have inside of you are just roaring to come out. And so I really hope that you have just taken some time in the past week to think about where you are in your life, the things that you need to make some decisions about. Last week, we really talked a lot about powerful choices and how choices can either steer you in the direction of your destiny, or they can really move you toward a very destructive place. And so it is our hope, my hope, that you would be moving in the direction of destiny, that you are moving beyond this place of just existence and truly living, truly thriving. And so today's show, I am so excited about because we're going to be talking about taking a leap of faith. For many of you, you know exactly what it is that what you want to do. You know what your dream is. You know what your sense of calling and your sense of purpose is. And the only thing that's standing between you and the life that you have been dreaming about for years is your willingness to take that first step, to just take the leap. Depending on your personality, depending on just your own process, sometimes, you know, we are really stuck in the process and we are planners and over planners. And sometimes we can plan ourselves into doing nothing. You know, for those of us that are part of organizations, you know, a lot of times we talk about that when it comes to meetings, that we can meet ourselves out of actually doing anything. You can meet yourself to death, literally, and never actually move forward. And so today, the question for you is, how much planning do you really need to do? And are you using that planning as just a crutch or an excuse to kind of keep you in that space? Because so many times we know what we're supposed to do, but in our minds, we may feel like, I'm just not ready. I'm not prepared enough. I haven't taken enough classes. I haven't done enough. I don't know the right people. I don't have enough money. You know, I just don't feel prepared. But let me tell you that just because you don't feel prepared doesn't mean that you aren't prepared. You have been prepared for this moment. Let me say that to you one more time. Everything in your life up to this very moment that you are listening to me speak, everything in your life has been orchestrated for now. Everything that has happened, everything that did not happen, every door that opened, every experience you have ever had, even the ones that we may consider to be negative, and even those mountaintop experiences, everything has been orchestrated and in sync for this very moment right now. And I always like to say there is no time like the present. There is no time like this present moment. Tomorrow is not promised to us, and yesterday has come and gone. All you really have is the right now. And so for this show today, I really want to encourage you, and I want to urge you to move past this place of perpetual thinking about it, perpetual analyzing about it, continual planning and planning and planning. Some of us have been planning for the last 5 years, and we still have not moved on the very things that are within our hearts. If you are, you know, waiting to not feel afraid, you know, because we said last year, we really kind of tapped into what are the foundations of courage, what is fear? And we said that fear is false evidence appearing real. We talked about courage is not the absence of fear, but it is the ability to feel the fear and move forward in the plan anyway. And so if that is the case, why then are you waiting to not feel afraid? Because fear is going to be there. That feeling is just that. It is simply a feeling. And so if you're waiting to feel completely comfortable, if you're waiting to feel like everything is perfect, all the circumstances are exactly right, I hate to tell you, but a lot of times we will not do anything because, you know, will you ever feel totally and completely ready to get outside of your box? We are talking about moving beyond your comfort zone. And so just by nature of what you are being called and asked to do, it is uncomfortable. So to say that I'm waiting to feel more settled, I'm waiting to feel more comfortable, you know, is almost paradoxical, because you're not going to feel that way. You're going to feel those butterflies. You're going to feel that nervousness. You're going to have questions and doubts that make you feel like, what if this doesn't work? What if it does work? What if, you know, what if things, you know, get out of control? Well, once again, control is just an illusion anyway. What do we really have control over? And so the only thing that you do have control over is your thoughts and your current actions. And so today I really, really want to encourage you to stop standing on the edge. You know, for many of us, we have just kind of been standing on the edge of the cliff, looking over, wanting to jump, saying we're going to jump, you know, seeing the direction of our dreams. We can see it. We can see the horizon, but yet we still stand on the safe shores with our feet firmly planted in the ground. And so today, I am just so elated and I'm so blessed. I have a very sweet treat for you today. The special guest, our inspirational guest that will be joining us after our first break, is Warren Brown. And for those of you who don't know who Warren Brown is, he is the owner and the founder of Cake Love. So, like I said, it's a very sweet treat, because for those of us who may be listening and are from the DC metropolitan area, I'm sure you know who Warren Brown is. And if you don't know him by name, I'm sure you know Cake Love, because Cake Love has some of the best, most absolute, delicious sweet treats, delicious cakes that you ever wanted to taste. And so just a little bit about Warren, because I really want to use the time when he does join us, for you to really just be inspired to take that leap of faith. But his background is just a wonderful story within itself. He is an attorney. Well, he was an active attorney, had what many of us would be, what we would consider to be a good life, you know, all of the accoutrements of education and doing well professionally. And he's an individual who was bold enough to give all of that up, all of those things up, so that he could bake cakes, because that was his dream. And, you know, obviously, for those of you who know anything about Cake Love, that dream has truly snowballed into a great and wonderful, a phenomenal, extraordinary kind of life. Cake Love now has 7 locations, I want to say, in the D.C. metropolitan area. Warren Brown is a national speaker who goes around encouraging young entrepreneurs, dreamers, potential business owners to follow their dreams. He's been seen on Oprah Winfrey's show when her show was still on. He was on the Today Show. He's been in Southern Living magazine, many different food magazines. He also was a judge on one of the Food Network shows. So, you know, as you can see, you never really know where your dream is going to take you. You really have no idea. And so all it takes, though, the beginning of every dream is just one simple step. And so today, again, by the end of this show, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be inspired. I want you to be moved. I say that from a spiritual place, but I want you also to be moved literally, to get out of kind of that thinking mode, to get out of your planning and analyzing mode. And now is the time to start doing it. Now is the time to put your feet to the ground and begin to walk it out. Because again, you may not feel it. You may not have everything, all the circumstances may not be totally as you want them to be, you know, but there comes a point, I believe, in all of our lives where you really have to challenge yourself and ask yourself the question, if not now, when? If you're not going to do it now, then when are you going to do it? And if it's not you, then who? If not now, when? And if not me, then who? You are the one who has been given this awesome vision. You are the one who has been given the dream. You have the passion. You have the drive. You have everything you need within you to make the vision manifest. And again, you have no idea where this vision is going to take you. You have no idea who it is going to bless. But all God is really asking you to do is to take that leap of faith, to step out and do the thing that seems impossible. I guarantee you that it will pay off for you. I guarantee you that your life will become full of surprises. It will be phenomenal. So again, I just can't wait until after the break. And I know that you all are going to learn so much from hearing Warren Brown, just from hearing his story. Again, it's really going to touch you in a sweet spot in your life. And my intention, my goal for you today is just to inspire you and move you from standing on that cliff to finally taking that leap of faith towards your dream. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, looking forward to your feedback, and we'll be right back after this break with Warren Brown.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things. And together, you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite twice every week, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety and on the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific.
Who are we? Can we really make the world a better place? How can the mantle of personal power be most effectively passed from generation to generation? There is no correct answer, but by tuning in to Birthright of Power with Reverends Don and Jane Lewis, the goal is that you will find some help in this journey. What does it mean to be a warrior with multiple meanings of that word? How do we stay strong in the face of changing times? Listen to Birthright of Power live every Monday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are tuned in to Live Your Life with Melissa Brown. To contact us on today's program, please call in to 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to mbrown@lifepurposeinc.org. That's mbrown@lifepurposeinc.org. Now, back to our show.
Hello, and again, we just welcome you to Live Your Life. I am your host, Melissa Brown, and as I shared with you right before the break, it is my awesome, awesome pleasure to introduce to some and present to others the wonderful Warren Brown. He is the owner and founder of Cake Love, and as I shared with you, he has just an amazing, amazing story. And so without further ado, let me just welcome Warren Brown. Welcome, Warren.
Thank you, Melissa, very much. It's great to be here.
Glad to have you here. I have talked you up just a bit before.
Yeah, definitely. It's very kind. Appreciate that.
Before the show. And so I know for the listeners, since we have listeners all over the country, and they some people may not be familiar with Cake Love. Why,
sure.
Can you just share with us just how you fell in love with cakes?
Sure. I fell in love with cakes because I've got a passion for food, and I've always dreamed of making food that I can share with other people, because I just enjoy the process of enjoy everything about food, the process of making it, bringing it to the table, sharing it with people to have something that I've created. I'm really interested in food that tastes good with balanced flavors, and I found myself looking to just express a creative side of myself when I began my first job out of law school. As you can imagine, my first job out of law school as an attorney, as a practicing attorney, I just didn't really feel that I was able to be that creative.
Wow.
And, you know, that part of me, it needed to come out. It mm-hmm. needed some kind of voice of expression. And, you know, when you're practicing law, at least the type I was doing is administrative law, it's just words on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a presentation to the court or to the judge, mostly via phone, but it's just talking and words on paper. So it even though I put up my heart and soul into that work, when I looked at it, it didn't speak to me because it was two-dimensional and just words. I needed something I could touch. Something
yeah.
I could actually share, something physical, something I could, I mean, the great thing about cake is that you can eat it, so you can really experience it on many levels. And, you know, food at the time was just calling me, and that's how I wanted to show, I guess, myself primarily, but also the world, like, just what else I could do.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's how it came.
That's great, and it really kind of piggybacks on what we spoke about last week, because we've been kind of just starting a series on courage and hoping that people will take their dreams and kind of move their dreams to the next level. And so
yeah.
for you, because when you think about, you know, baking cakes, I know there are lots of people who bake, and I really hear you when you say you needed something that was an expression of yourself and who you
mm-hmm.
were. How did
mm-hmm.
you get to the level where you were willing to, I guess, leave the actual profession of law? How long
yeah.
was your process? Did you do that right away? And how did you know that cakes were calling you, you know, to the level where
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay,
mm-hmm.
I need to do cakes and cake
yeah.
love full time?
Yeah, it was a process. It took a while. I mean, at least 2 to 2.5 years for me to go through leaving practicing law or working as a lawyer full time. Basically, I moonlighted as a baker by night for about a year and a half. Then I moved into doing cakes full time while I was trying to start up my business and take my business to the next level by opening up a storefront. And I'll get into like each step and kind of what happened, but overall it was about a 2 to 2.5 year process. Very difficult. Very, very difficult the whole way through. And moments of, you know, levity and a lot of laughter, a lot of fun and, you know, good moments. But when I look back on that, a lot of times I laugh because I just, it's a little overwhelming how many times I just wanted to, how many times I needed to just stop because I felt either crushed on the inside, hopeless, like I was not necessarily doing the wrong thing and I went in the wrong direction, but just, feeling a little like you're in over your head and what do I do? Kind of like a, you know, a bobbing mooring, not going under, but, taking a lot of water.
Yes. I totally get where you're coming from. Because once you're out there and you feel like you're in the deep water, like you said, you're not drowning, but you are definitely out of your element. Can you just say a little bit about, I guess for you, did you have the support or was this all kind of encouragement from within? Because I can imagine telling people I'm going to stop being a lawyer and I'm going to open up a cake shop. And how did people respond to that? And how did you deal with that?
So I went about it very methodically. And what I did do is that I said, okay, if you're going to go into making cakes, then let's use your legal research skills and your writing skills and all your organizational skills that you've developed and learned in school. And so that meant, you know, being methodical about researching the market. Just go out, pound the pavement, go into each bakery shop that you can, and just take a look and see what it is. What does it mean that it's a bakery? Familiarize yourself with what a retail bakery means back then. It was like 98, 99, 2000. And that was a very educational process for me that I did not only in Washington, but anytime I went on the road for work or family pleasure, I would just make it a point to go to bakeries. And as I did that, I started talking to bakery owners. I started talking to just other people, you know, that I would meet here and there about bakeries and just about that business. I just wanted to try to understand what it meant, a baked good, a cake, what defined goodness and a good thing for people, and really what they meant when I told them this idea that was a little bit crazy of that I wanted to go into making cakes. And, you know, the cake and cupcake market has evolved tremendously in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it has.
It's really different. And so when I was starting it, the only thing that people could think of when I said I want to make cakes is they could just think of a cake at a grocery store, you know, sheet cake that may or may not have some kind of character on it, kind of neon colors that are piped on it. It's very sweet. The quality is pretty low. And it's just, you know, it's not that special of a product. But what I had in mind from when I began, because I'm so into food and I really let the ingredients tell me kind of like how they want to manifest, what they want to be, what they want to look like, how they want to taste, in combination together. I had in mind kind of a blend between a European style gâteau, an American homemade cake that your grandma made, plus something that was, you know, my version of how to combine flavors. So it might be orange, mango, and cayenne pepper together in a cake. You know, because I wanted to see, like, can you manipulate flavors and bring out hop without making it too offensive and, you know, it's just too caustic for your palate. And I love that expression that I got, you know, to be this technical guy really interested in the science of baking, but it was very fun and very accessible because it's in a cake. People were willing to take chances and try things that seemed you know, really like I'm pushing the envelope with cake. So like my support came from family and friends who were early taste testers of my first attempts and just trying it out to see what I was doing. I marched through different cookbooks that I found and marched through different recipes and make a commitment to myself that if I'm going to crack one egg when I'm baking in my apartment, that I would stay in the kitchen for 3 hours, like minimum, and bake as much as I can, bring it to work, get feedback, ask for feedback, I would do the same thing for my friends, bring it over to parties. I started volunteering to make birthday cakes for friends. And so I just really tried to elicit support from people in a lot of ways just by means of telling me, do you think the product is any good? You know, do I have any kind of chance? And but my family, when it came to my immediate family, my sisters and my my mother, father, because I wasn't married at the time, didn't have any kids, like I was looking for, you know, they're okay too, because I really needed that emotional support. I knew that was a big part of it. And I remember bringing home some cakes for Christmas. That was my Christmas present to them. Everyone got a special cake in their own name, in a way. And you know, that's one of the things that really made the difference. When I had the support of the friends and family, I felt like I could. I just felt strong enough, I guess, inside. And you know, I still face lots of different challenges, from finance to you know, just getting the work done.
Yeah,
I didn't necessarily have a lot of help in that respect from those crowds of people, but I needed that safe place I could go when I felt overwhelmed and like I was taking on too much water. So that was very helpful, and it really kind of came, I guess, into sharp focus and like sealed it when I had my first cake open house. This is back in June of 2000, actually, like around Father's Day weekend. And my family came in from Cleveland and Chicago, parents and sisters, and I invited the members of the public and friends from work helped me as cake cutters. And I had like 50 cakes, maybe, I don't know, 150 people came over the course of a couple hours. It was hosted in this art gallery. It was a beautiful day. It was just a perfect event. And, you know, at the end of that, I realized that my parents now saw the vision that I had. They saw the cake, you know, expressed from inside of my heart, and they got a better feel for what I meant when I said layer cake. Now you know, they had a visual picture in their head. It wasn't any longer something they tried to have to create. They could touch and feel it. And from then on out, like, it was wasn't easy, but it was much, much easier to just kind of fill in the blanks as to getting myself to my first retail storefront.
Okay.
But those are long blanks, you know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. It's not like those are really short, easy ones. Those were very, very kind of big patches that had to be filled in.
Wow. If you could tell us maybe one of the biggest hurdles or challenges that you had to overcome within yourself, because I hear you when you're talking about, I guess, somewhat of an internal struggle and just you trying to stay connected to this vision that you had in your heart. And I hear you kind of almost saying there were times where it was really, really difficult. What was one of the biggest struggles just within yourself that you had to overcome?
For me, the emotional weight of the impact was like the emotional impact of committing to doing this. And to seeing it through, and, you know, to make the commitment once.
Yeah.
You know, and not have to, you know, sure, you can go back and kind of, I don't know, you know, say your vows again to the job that you're doing, you know, but, you know, you make that decision once and then it's done.
I
felt it when I was making a cake for my boss. It was a Friday night, just when I was in that moonlighting period of baking. In the evening, and I was making it for Lou Morris. He was the number two at the Office of Counsel to the Inspector General at Health and Human Services. That's where I work. Mm-hmm. And he's a great guy. I really enjoyed working for him, and he was a foodie too, so we used to talk about food a lot. Mm-hmm. And he was having some kind of dinner party. He said, just make me a cake, whatever it is, you know, tell me whatever it costs, and, you know, here's the money. And so he gave me the freedom that I always like to have, just create something that I think will taste really good. And I, you know, I put everything I could into this cake. It was orange filling. It was like navel orange segments that were cured with sugar. The almond layer cake, two layers, and the yellow butter cake, two layers, and a French buttercream with Cointreau flavoring in it, orange oil. And I took the orange rind and lightly dried it in the oven and crunched it into the buttercream.
Yeah, a whole nother level of cakes.
Yeah. I mean, I put everything I could into this, and I knew how it would taste and, like, you know, kind of how it sliced and how the orange segments would burst out, like, you know, liquid that was captured in them. But when it came to kind of doing a little bit of a decoration on top, I was a little lost because I'm much more, you know, that techie science guy about the batter, not so much about the decoration. And so I took a couple of those orange segments and I laid them on top of the cake. And for whatever reason, as I did that, I was just struck with a lot of images of my youth. From when I was a boy, from when my track coach brought a whole box of navel oranges to our team after we ran, like, the longest run that I've ever done in my life. I mean, this is all the way back when I was in sixth grade, and biting into the orange, I could see the blue sky. I was walking in the parking lot of the Cleveland Metro Parks and, you know, just savoring the juice running down my face. And then all of a sudden I was kind of teleported into thinking about my next door neighbor when I was a little boy who passed away when I was in eighth grade because he had a bad heart. And
all the
emotion and feeling of, you know, mourning his loss through my teens and, yeah, I still do, but just more in the fact that he died when he was 17. He didn't have a chance to do some of these things that I was doing. And and then I started thinking about my family and, like, you know, just how much they mean to me. And all of it hit me so hard that I backed up and I burst out into tears.
Yeah.
This is over this cake.
Wow.
And I realized, and this is the thing that kind of hit me, and this is what really made me shudder a little bit, was that everything I want in my life, everything that I need in order to feel, I guess, complete, my mission, I felt, was going to be achieved through cake. But I also knew that I would have to build this whole thing. It was going to be on my shoulders, and I would have to be willing to spend the time to create an entire business around making cake, because no one really saw what it was, and so I would have to explain it, and I'd have to be behind every element of it, from cleaning things and fixing things and just building it totally from the ground. And that's what scared me, because I knew what it meant to build stuff, and I knew that it takes a lot of work, and it's just hard. And so I was ready. I was ready to accept that commitment.
Yeah.
But it's like, as I did, I also, you know, was like, okay, this is bigger than anything else you've taken on to date. And not that you can't do it, Warren, but get ready, because here comes the heavy load.
That's beautiful, Warren. And because really it just sounds like a great spiritual experience, really, to just where everything kind of came full circle for you.
It was. And it's funny because you say that, because, like, a couple of years before this, and it was a little bit unrelated, but I woke up one morning and I just got dressed and I went out to this church that I'd only been to once before, because this is where my grandfather had the funeral for my grandfather was. And I didn't even know anything really about the church, but I just felt like I needed to go. And the pastor he spoke to me, you know, just to my heart when I listened to his eulogy, my grandfather, and I wanted to hear his voice. And it's like, as soon as I walked into the church, which was, you know, the service had just begun, it felt like he was talking directly to me the whole time. Mm-hmm. And he spoke about restlessness that's inside of you. And when it is there, you know, how it's meant to be there. It's your fuel source, if you will. It is the thing that, you know, gets you up, and don't try to ignore it. You know, go with it. My dad said something very similar too. You know, when I was studying for the bar, he's just like, you have to be mentally rested in order to be able to focus and do the work you want to do. So if there's something that's on your mind, you need to, you know, you need to satisfy that. You need to go to that. Don't try to ignore it. Because you'll always kind of come back and it'll just be an itch inside of your head. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, cakes have been, and food has been what that item of restlessness in me, and it merges with like being creative. And I never thought of myself as an artist, and I very often just don't. I just like to build stuff, which is an expression of art. But you know, it's like I have a sister who is a kind of more traditional artist of painting and drawing, and so I kind of always think of that as art. But there's many ways that people are artistic and expressive, and so the restlessness, or however you want to call it, when there's something that's itching inside, one needs to respond to that.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's only one of you, and whatever your specific calling is, like you said, you got to pay attention to that. And I know there's a number of entrepreneurs and just people who have that itch on the inside of them. There's a something that they feel like they want to do. And very similar to you, it may be something that nobody else is doing. Or, you know, it's very different and people may not understand it on a practical level, you know, especially, you know, and I know you had your background as an attorney to kind of fall back on, you know, how can people begin? How can they kind of take that step out there when they feel like, you know, am I really prepared? You know, how do I know if I'm prepared? You know, because sometimes we can plan too long. You know, what can we do?
I think one needs to learn their market really, really well. Know it inside and out, know it cold. It's for a couple of reasons. And one is just that I never like it when someone tells me something about what's going on in my business. You know, I mean, like it just is a chink in my armor. It just kind of chips away at my confidence. And being in business is all about confidence. It's a total game. If you don't have that confidence that is, you know, strong enough to withstand criticism or doubts from within, criticism from outside, doubt within, or, you know, just kind of the run-of-the-mill problems that come up, you know, there will be a lot of problems ahead without the confidence to kind of withstand all that stuff. So, you know, knowing as much as I can about my business helps me maintain the confidence level that I need. You know, how do you know enough? I always used to kind of think of it in like legal research. Like you just keep looking for cases until you find that stuff is, you're circling back to where you started. You know, eventually you'll find all the stuff that you need to. But in the course of the research, I think apart from just doing really thorough analysis on your own, you know, with the help of the good old computer and internet, like, you gotta talk to people. Cause that's where the info really is. It's just, it's in the heads of other people, and you gotta talk to them and find out what they know. A lot of people, like, you know, they don't want to talk about their business plan idea. They want to keep it secret, keep it close. Like, I kind of get that, but also it's like, just don't be so, don't think that, like, you know, whatever it is that your idea is so unique that it either hasn't been done before or, I mean, because some haven't, but a lot of things have, and at least in my industry. It's like either been done before, so you want to make it better or you want to make it for less money. You know, you can innovate in a lot of ways. I think I innovated with cakes and unusual ingredients and bringing back old traditional recipes, you know, so that my aim was to make it better. And by describing to people what I was going to do, like, did I kind of open up the field to competition? Yeah, maybe, but competition will always be there. You know,
that's
in
right.
this kind of economy, like, if something is successful, people will come and copy it, you know, no doubt. And I definitely saw that. In my business, I mean, for those of you who aren't in the D.C. area, I mean, like, we opened in 02, we're going strong, all kind of stuff, lots of success and whatever, and for 6 years or so, there was really no one that came into the market, and then within a span of 2 or 3 years, you know, like, 30 different cupcake shops opened up.
Yeah, all of a sudden now, everybody is baking cupcakes.
All over the place. And I mean, I'm not the only person in the country that's made cupcakes before, but at least in D.C., there weren't a lot of businesses that were focused on cupcakes to go. And, you know, now there's a plethora of choice. And so, you know, people will come and make a similar product, and it's either going to come before you launch your business, you know, perhaps if you talk to the wrong person, they steal your idea, but I think the chances of that happening are slim, and I think the payoff is much better if an individual has an idea, they talk about their business, and they do as much research as they can by talking to individuals, either it's a casual conversation, a structured focus group, you know, whatever it's going to be. The conversations that I've had with people have really given me the best new ideas and the best kind of angles to grow my business.
Right, right. And I know we're going to be coming up on a break shortly,
sure.
But I really was just wanting to hear from you, I guess, your thoughts about what happens when you take that first step, because, you know, I know that you had that kind of itch inside of you for cakes and you opened up your first store when you started well over 10 years ago. Is this where you are now? Is this what you envisioned, or did you just kind of go with the flow? Because so many good things have happened to you just from really taking that first step.
I mean, what happened when I took the first step is I freaked out. I was scared. You know, like around my second day or third day or something like that of my leave of absence from my job, it kind of hit me that I don't really know exactly, you know, how I'm going to do this or what's the next step. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a general idea, but I left my job without really a business plan written. I needed time to write that because I didn't have that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt like, oh, if I write the business plan, then that'll be my first and kind of last step in terms of the planning. And it's just the beginning. You know, it really was just the beginning. You know, I believe that there was potential for the business, and I got that, I guess, kind of confirmation from different people in the business who've been doing it for a long time. And they said, like, yeah, you can find a niche for gourmet cakes, and you can make a healthy margin. And, and you know, and that's great, but it's a very different ball of wax to have one shop in one corner and then it grow it to more than one location. And, you know, we're six locations now, and I believe that I could grow it to more than one cake shop in one corner, and I definitely went into the business because I thought I had legs for more than one cake shop in one corner. You know, and to grow it into something that's larger, you know, in years past, that's definitely something I wanted, thought I wanted, aspired to, et cetera. You know, now I'm married with two kids, and they're both young. Like, growth outside of my local area is not something I'm looking for. It's about, you know, for me, at least right now, like, my life is much more focused and centered around my children and about time with them. And you have to be there. And I realize and recognize that, you know, like, business that grows sometimes just requires that business owner to be on site and stuff. And, you know, that means you just can't be there with the kids. And there's nothing like when my daughter comes up and hugs me, when I wake up and my younger daughter gives me a open mouth kiss that 9 months old can only do.
Slobber and
so
all.
So fantastic! Oh yeah, I mean, it's just so fantastic. So, you know, maybe down the road, if there's growth in terms of retail storefronts for other locations, or, you know, maybe it's just growing the business in different ways, which is more of what I'm exploring now, so that, you know, people can get Cake Love, but that doesn't mean that they come into the Cake Love shop. They just somehow get it another way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just continuing to be creative where you can still operate in your calling and in your gift, but you're doing it in a way that works for you and where you are right now in your life with the family and just being able to take care of yourself as well. So that's great. Well, Warren, we are right up on a break. And again, I just thank you for sharing. I don't know if you can hang out with us for a few more minutes, but I just want to thank you again just for the wealth of knowledge and information that you have shared. It has been life-changing, I know, for so many people, and I just so appreciate your wisdom and that you were willing to take that leap of faith. And because of that, you have touched probably more people than you will ever know. You really don't know how, you know, like you said, a cake can be the start, the beginning of so many things. I had one of my first dates with my husband at the Love Cafe. And here we are, 8 years later. So, wow. You know, again, you have no wow. idea how you impact other people. And I just thank you for taking a risk on your own dreams and for inspiring others. So for those that are listening, if you'll just still, you can stay tuned and we'll be right back after this break.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel? Constantly running but getting nowhere? Ready to try something different? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. Each week, you can find out how to choose your energy and change your life with your host, Deborah Jane Wells. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Tune in to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel, VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Are tuned in to Live Your Life with Melissa Brown. To contact us on today's program, please call in to 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to mbrown@lifepurposeinc.org. That's mbrown@lifepurposeinc.org. Now, back to our show.
Hello, this is Melissa Brown, and I thank you for tuning in to Live Your Life. For those who have been with us for the entire hour, I know that you have been tremendously, tremendously blessed by just listening to Warren Brown, our special guest for today. He's the owner and founder of Cake Love, and he has been just really inspiring all of us to take that leap of faith, to pay attention to the calling, to the thing that's kind of itching in your heart, to pay attention to those things. Because again, we are called to be an expression of ourselves in the world. And for him, he has found that expression through cakes. And so I'm glad that he is still able to be with us. And this is the last few moments of the show. And so I wanted to just kind of give Warren a chance to maybe say a little bit more to the listeners. I know he has lots of fans who absolutely love his cakes. I have Warren, a very good friend in Colorado, and she wanted me to let you know how much she appreciates your science to cake making, because of course in Colorado, I lived in Colorado Springs, 7,000 feet above sea level.
Right,
and
right.
So she can make a cake now, because so many cookbooks and recipe books do not address the high altitude.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. My first cookbook, we have a lot of mile high recipe adjustments, and it was a big deal for me too, because I wanted to give a nod to people who are up high, you know, don't want to forget them. I was really kind of blessed and lucked out that my recipe tester, one of them, lived in Denver at the time. And I met her when I was doing the filming for Sugar Rush for Food Network. She was the sous chef that helped me with making everything look good that I was doing on camera during the host wraps, which are like the beginning and the end of the show when I'm in the kitchen making it look like I'm sweating over the stove and cooking and stuff. Yeah, so Cake Love, my first book, was a lot of fun. It was a great way to get out there. Here's my philosophy. Here's what I'm about. Because I got a lot of comments from people who said, I really like your book. I really like your recipes and the style. They're really different. And I didn't know what was different about it. For me, it's just, this is how I bake. This is how I cook. This is how I like to explain it. But it's very detailed. Very detail oriented, and I like to take it all the way down to, like, you know, down to the grain of sugar. What size that we're working with, and why you want to use extra fine granulated sugar versus just granulated sugar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how much is, what it means, how much does it weigh? Weigh it versus doing a cup measure, because your results would be tremendously different, especially when you're talking about flour. I mean, anyone that's out there, if you want one tip for baking better, buy a scale to measure your flour, put a bowl on that scale, and sift your flour right into that bowl. Take the measurement of, like, how many ounces per cup. If you need an equivalent measurement chart, just Google for one. You can get it. All-purpose flour, cake flour, pastry flour. They all have different specific gravities, if you will, so they weigh a little different per cup. And I think it's much more effective to bake using a scale than it is to just sift to a scoop-in level with, like, a knife or your finger, because we all have different size hands, we all have different pressures. Sometimes the flour is a little more heavy because it's humid. You know, like, everything's different. A lot of that I was able to get out in the first cookbook, Cake Love, which was exciting. I've got my fourth book will be out in September, so the fall. It'll be called Pie Love.
Wonderful. Pie Love.
A lot of recipes of crust, a lot of pie recipes, of course, some savory ones, too. Because a lot of people ask me, like, well, you can bake, but can you cook? And I've been cooking for a heck of a lot longer than I've been baking. So
I think I can
cook, too. You know, not everything, but the stuff I do, I like it quite a bit. I wanted to kind of just chime in and say, earlier you were talking about Love Cafe, how you met your husband there. I met my wife at Love Cafe.
Wow.
And she was sitting next to one of my colleagues. They were just kind of Wi-Fiing and talking to each other, and I walked in, and I mean, it was like at first sight. I saw her, and we locked eyes, and we kind of had a stare down, and we both looked away at the same time, and we talk about
that's
that
beautiful
moment, and, it was awesome. And you know, for me, for those of you who may not know, I had a cafe. It was across the street from my first bakery. I called the Love Cafe. It was a great experience, you know, while I was there. I closed it kind of recently, about a year ago or so. And for me, like, not having it is fine, because I am able to focus on cakes and Cake Love, and which is really where my heart is. But when I was building up Love Cafe, I gotta tell you, like, it was a painful, difficult, long process that I was often wondering, why in the world am I doing this? You know, why am I standing with the angle grinder, you know, basically taking off the brick, the first layer of all the concrete on the brick, got brick dust everywhere, all over my nose, like, you know, just tiring, exhausting. But I built a beautiful space that, for me, maybe that was all worth it, because I met my wife, my children.
Yes.
Partly because I opened up Love Cafe. And, you know, I choose to see it like that. And for me, that's fine. That's enough. And I think that when you're in business and you're pursuing your passion, your dreams, a lot of it is how you choose to see it. You know, how you want to frame whatever it is that's going on in your life. Are all the experiences that are going on, or, you know, is the world down and against you? Or is this feedback that really, in a lot of ways, is just a gift to tell you what people think of what's going on? And if you want to listen to the feedback, then you can hopefully build off of it. But if you choose to believe that it's, it's not on your side in some way, then it will be a very dark day. And I've gone through all those things. I've gone through periods of feedback where I felt like, you know, not that great about it. But if you listen to it and you can get your head in different space, you know, you can recently revamped a lot of stuff at Cake Love recipe-wise, and a lot of it came from feedback and trying to respond to that, but also just off of things that I've learned. You know, I mean, I've learned tons about butter, sugar, eggs, and flour, how they work well together to make different types of baked goods. And from the pie recipe development that I do for the cookbook Pie Love, I learned a lot about like how to blend butter plus vegetable oil plus vegetable shortening to make a different texture to the cake that I didn't have before. I mean, in a lot of ways, like when you're making a cake or any baked good, having a variety of different elements in there can contribute to the taste, contribute to the texture, contribute to the moisture level, and contribute in a good way. You know, not to make it busy, but to make it multidimensional. And I've always felt that, like, you know, I like multigrain, like, to pancakes. I like multigrain bread. Mm-hmm. I like it for the interest and the texture and the taste that you get for it.
Like you said, it's all about the layers and and our ability, I guess, because really what I'm hearing you say is that we learn as we grow. And as we grow, we get better. And so it sounds like you've just really been improving and learning, you know, how to make a better cake. I were relating that, you know, just to us and in our lives, you know, I always say there's no such thing as failure. There are only life lessons. And, you know, and so I hope that for listeners, because we have only about a minute and a half left, that they are able to take the layers of their lives and improve upon them. So in the last couple minutes, well, really 1 minute that we have, Warren, again, I want to say thank you to you. And if there's anything that you want to share, your website, how listeners can connect with you.
Yeah, people can come and find me at cakelove.com on the web, and you can learn about Cake Love, read a little bit more about my bio, my background, and history. Growth and learning is a good thing. Change is good. And some ways that I think about it that are easier for me, at least, to kind of accept it is that I like music. My music will change taste with time, and the bands that I listen to and I like, their sound evolves from their first album to their most recent one. It's usually a different sound, and in a lot of ways, that's what I've done with my business. And I think that people ought to realize that you never need to be stuck in the mud or stay in one place. Growth and evolution is a positive thing, like you said. It's expected in a lot of ways, and that expectation can kind of come out and be a really good thing for everyone.
Well, Warren, again, what a wonderful way to sum up the conversation. I can't thank you enough for just what you have shared. And I know that you've been an inspiration to so many people today who've just been kind of standing on the edge of life. And I know they're ready now to take that leap. So thank you again for thank you for joining us. Thank you all who are listening. And we look forward to seeing you and talking to you on next week. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today. Listen for Live Your Life with host Melissa Brown again next Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Make today the first day to start on what's next in your life.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.